This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the tense. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody to a brand new episode of the podcast. Some of the hosts here, podcast, the Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land. All right, now on the bottom square, beaming in from, we'll just say, a foreign country. Goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Ted, I like how you always keep my whereabouts secret. Yeah, I'm down in Baja, Mexico, getting a little R&R. Doing great, man. I feel pumped up. I swam in the ocean yesterday. Got a nice sunburn. So I'm ready to rock and roll. So we got some funny emails this week. Let's do it.
Oh, I'm impressed you actually got burned. All right, come beaming his satellites in from a sandy spot, but no beach. Matt, I'm the producer, FCTV. What's up, Matt?
Very dusty down here. What's up? It's good to see all of you.
Kind of ironic to say dusty, as I know our buddy the mayor and a few other our friends will be down in Burning Man here in a week or two. So getting all that
Furious
prep ready.
Dust.
But first,
serious dust.
We have a past guest, one of our favorite people in the world, as he started, frankly, one of our favorite festivals of the world, Summer Meltdown, our old buddy Josh Clausen.
Hello, fellas. Thank you, guys. Good to be back. Been a minute.
Josh, first of all, I have to brag. I was on San Juan Island last week at the oyster farm.
I was going to say,
a guy, my buddy's buddy, crazy guy named Jimmy. He's only like 31. He started talking about Meltdown. I'm like, wait a minute. We have some friends. And then I just, so we're eating oysters, drinking white wine. We're at whatever that bar is in Friday Harbor. And I just keep texting Josh, just met this person. Just met that person.
Yeah. Too good. Small world out there. Small island, small world.
It is. That was the first time I've been up there. That was kind of took my breath
what?
Away. Like, beautiful.
That's yeah, the I've first been, time?
Yeah, I'd been to Lopez, but I'd never been to Friday Harbor, and I still haven't been out to Orcas.
Wow. Well, Friday Harbor is the big, big city of the islands. It's gorgeous, though.
And there was a terrible fire 3 years ago, which everybody told me about.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What, Herb's Tavern?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Terrible. Good old.
All right,
Herb's
Josh,
Tavern.
You have a big show you're producing coming up on July 29th up at
Correct.
The up in Monroe at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm calling it the Tribute Trilogy.
All right, where
we're going to host three of the most epic tribute bands that I know of, featuring the headliner Zepparella, which we have Clementine, the drummer and founder of the band, on here. And we're also featuring Randy Hansen, who does Jimi Hendrix like none other. I mean, the guy just like embodies Jimi to the point where you're like, is he like, what happens when you get like the ghost of somebody in you?
I wouldn't say Randy, I've seen Randy probably five times, and like
Yeah.
His mannerisms, the way he plays, and the way he dresses. Like, if he wasn't white, if he was black, you would think it was Jimi Hendrix.
I agree. I mean, it's almost like he walks and talks like him too. It's just crazy. So Randy Hansen will be doing Jimi Hendrix, and then this newer local band called Little Lies features some really awesome young performers that have played Meltdown in different original bands. Andrew Veit, you guys probably saw him. He had a project called Eternal Fair that played Meltdown, and now he's got a project called Sisters. And then Miranda Zickler is the female vocalist in the band, and she is from a band called Kuinka. And then there's other great performers in the band, but they kill Fleetwood Mac. They absolutely kill it. Fleetwood I got Mac. Sent Fleetwood Mac. Yeah. Which is not an easy task. I got sent a live show randomly from the Spanish Ballroom down in Tacoma. And I got about 10 minutes into it, and I texted the dude back and was like, okay, yes, let's do this. Let's do this concert. Let's have Zeparella, Randy Hansen, Little Lies. So you're getting like the most legendary hit makers from the decades all together.
Yeah, you know the songs. Real,
IRL, in real life. You're going to hear them live on stage, which just doesn't happen with Jimmy and Led Zeppelin especially.
All right, so Clementine, you are the drummer, one of the founders of Zeparella. We were talking a little bit before we started this cast, like, you kind of answered it, but I want our listeners to hear it too. Like, Zeppelin, like Josh was saying, such a hard band to cover and hit those. Like, how did you guys come up with, like, we'll be a tribute to Zeppelin?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started, I had the idea for a couple of years, and then I mentioned it to Gretchen Menn, our guitarist, and she was like, well, I always wanted to learn Jimmy Page's stuff, and you know, I kind of just wanted to really dive into Bonham, you know, as a drummer. And we said, okay, well, if we're going to do it, we might as well do it on stage. So 20 years ago, that kind of began the journey that we've been on. And, you know, honestly, I really didn't know that I was, like, when I started playing drums, the idea of playing John Bonham's parts was really, I just thought that was very far-fetched.
Gotta be intimidating.
I still feel that. Because, you know, he's such a master. So, you know, I just have to make peace with the fact that I'm Clem, not John Bonham. And I don't think anybody could love the music or his playing as, you know, more than I do. So I just have to do my best to do it justice. So there's that aspect of it. And then also, you know, Zeppelin, I think the reason we've been together for so long is that Zeppelin songs have a lot of places where we can kind of stretch out and improvise musically. And it means that we get to make songs different from night to night, even though, you know, we're hitting all the things that the audience wants to hear. We're not going off the rails into something, you know, that's so different and not Zeppelin-y, but at the same time, it allows us to kind of be a band within a band, you know? And I think that's what keeps it fresh and keeps us engaged with it.
Well, it's tough too, as it's such, you know, an iconic band, right? And then that just seems like a tougher tribute to pull off, just because I can imagine Zeppelin fans can be a little particular about certain things.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely have a lot of arms crossed at the beginning, you know, of the shows. But you know, but I will say that you know, the beautiful thing about Zeppelin was that each player was so seminal on their instrument. You know, it was like they really had their own voice, and in Zeppelin they came together and created this magic connection. And so from the beginning, I really wanted to approach it musically so that I could create a band that had that kind of connection. And we've had a couple of small lineup changes over the years, but the most important thing has always been that synergy between us personally and then musically, that it really does feel like you're watching four people who maybe aren't, you know, the four people in Led Zeppelin, but four people who have a true connection
right
ourselves. So I think that's what
Zeppelin fans want to hear that kind of magic connection more than they want to hear something sound exactly like the record.
Yeah, I will. Like, first of all, I think it's funny. Like, we talk about in the men's room, the show I work on, the KSW, all the time. Like, if Zeppelin came out now, I'm not positive we'd play them, because there's so many kind of slower melodic songs where it's like people are like, what is this? Isn't rock?
Yeah.
But it's like they're one of the architects of like rock bands, right?
Yeah, totally.
And then also just the notes and stuff in that band. You're right. You know what? Arguably the best drummer of all time, right? If you don't know Zeppelin or John Bottom, just watch some Muppets, Gonzo. The way he plays, that's the theory I've always heard, is that he's based off Bottom playing drums. Yeah. Right. And then you have, what's it, Plant, which just, I don't know anybody that could still hit those notes. I mean, I've seen videos of other rock bands, Vince Neil, where it's like, you can't hit those notes.
Yeah. You should retire. Yeah.
There's so much emotion in everything that they're doing. You know, that's a great thing. It's just like pure emotion. Now, these guys are, you know, when you're seeing Song Remains the Same, you're looking at people who are like 24, 25, 26 years old. You know, they have the world at their feet. And, you know, all of that like passion and emotion is coming out. And it comes out in the music, you know. And another thing I really love about, you know, listening to live performances of Zeppelin and stuff, is that they're taking chances. You know, they're not, they're like go almost off the rails. You know, I mean, some people would say Jimmy goes off the rails, but sometimes, but you know, it's just, it's like, and with Bonham, it's like, you feel him like pushing the envelope always of what he's doing. And to do that live is really daring, I think, as a musician. And, you know, I've had to really embrace that and say to myself, okay, you don't have that yet, but you got to do it live over and over and over, even if you fall on your face. I mean, Moby Dick solo is a classic example of that.
Right.
I've never accomplished it. I've never felt like I did what I wanted to do. I've never lived my dream, but I have to go into it every night. Like, it's new, it's fresh, and I just have to like put it all out there. And it's a very,
so fun.
Yeah, it's a very exciting way to play. Yeah.
I was gonna say, like,
what a fun project.
Cobb and I were just down in Vegas like a month ago to watch Dead & Company. And our buddy had been there for four straight nights. And like, even he was saying, he was like, man, he's like, John Mayer's solos on certain songs sounded different from night to night.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for him as a player. I saw his concert in New York, and you know, to be able to play acoustic guitar with you and your voice and have an audience of 14,000 people jumping up and down for 20 minutes, I'm like, he's got a certain magic. Yeah.
I mean, look, I was not a big rock guy until I started working at KSW. So, like, I always liked rap and pop music. So, I like John Mayer. Then when you see him with Dead & Company, like, now other people, everybody knows now. But I'm like, I'm at the point where I'd put him top five guitarists of all time. I mean, the guy absolutely shreds.
Yeah. I completely
agree. You're a music
guy.
I mean, is that too bold of a statement?
No, I am a major fanboy. I am a major John Mayer fanboy.
All right, it's officially a John Mayer fan stand podcast.
Yeah. No, but I want to say to you, Clementine, like, the fact that you guys have been in business for 20 years is a huge testament to your abilities to to really give this music the respect that it deserves, because people, like you said, Ted, like, people are not, you know, they're not coming in expecting you to nail it. But the fact that you guys have been doing this for 20 years means a ton. You definitely are nailing it. And I want to know, I know on this show in particular, we're doing it at the Evergreen State Fair. You have Angela Petrelli on guitar. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
You tell me a little bit about her? Because I'm a guitarist. You asked what I play. I play guitar. And I remember your manager saying, or your agent saying, you know, this is exciting. We get, you know, to get Angela Petrelli on this show. What's the scoop on Angela Petrelli? Can you give me a little bit of backstory?
Yeah, well, first of all, I was just so grateful that you wanted to continue, you know, when you reached out to us, that you know, that you were up for having Angela. She's filled in for us. Gretchen earlier in the year had this guitar concerto written for her that she performed with the Utah Symphony in April. And so she took some time off. We had Angela come and fill in. And Angela is, she's just a consummate musician. And she's devoted her life since she was 7 years old to being a musician.
Wow.
And, nice.
Wow.
She's really a blues player, and which is perfect in Zeppelin. And it's
right.
just so incredibly tasty. And it's also really amazing to play with her because, you know, she's been the face of Norm's Vintage Guitar for the last 8 years in Los Angeles. She does all of their social media, so she'll pick up a $250,000 guitar and like play it, and people around the world are watching her, you know, do these videos.
Yeah.
You know, so she's very, very cool. well known, and she's also an incredible teacher. And so she does a lot of teaching videos and stuff. And so people know her that way too. And
cool.
She's just a delight. And also she's got a great stage presence as well, you know? So
that's cool.
You know, to play with Gretchen for 20 years, like Gretchen and I have been playing even longer than Zeppelin together. And, you know, so it's not, we don't take it lightly that, you know, somebody else is like, I'm looking over my hi-hat,
yeah.
somebody else. That's a really big deal. Yeah. In Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And to have someone be able to do it so well that it's like this exciting kind of newness, joy to play with her. I think, you know, and I know when we play up in Monroe, you know, we have quite a fan base in Washington State. And so I think, you know, a lot of people are flying in for the show that I've heard, some super fans, and, you know, they're really excited to see, it's not very often, you know, it's been a handful of times in 20 years that Zeppelin has looked different like that in the guitar.
Yeah. yeah.
So,
yeah.
Plus, I mean,
people are excited to see it.
Yeah. And you got a great time, right? You're talking the end of August, Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
You know, people will be pumped. The weather will be great. Again, we're talking with Clementine, the drummer, co-founder of Zeppelin, and then our buddy Josh Clausen, who's producing the show. When you talk about stage presence in a tribute band like yourself, like, did you start out kind of mimicking maybe Bottoms? Like, where do you draw that line of like you want to kind of mimic him, but also put your spin on when you're drumming his parts?
Yeah. So as far as stage presence go, you know, Zeppelin has a great advantage over most Zeppelin tribute bands, which is that we're chicks. So we're never going to look like them, right? And that gives us a lot more freedom. We don't have to wear wigs. Yeah. We don't have to dress in exactly the clothes. You know, we do have outfits that we wear, but they're more, and it's always just an allusion to parts of it rather than, you know, the thing. Now, I would say there's a kind of authority that we try to embody, you know, about all of them. But beyond that, you know, I never feel like I'm trying to, you know, make Bonham's movements or anything like that. I'm trying to sound like him. I'm trying to close my eyes and remember what it sounded like when I was 14 years old and try to make that come out of what I'm doing. And I think naturally, you know, when you're playing somebody else's parts, you are kind of inhabiting their body a little bit. So
yeah.
I'm sure there are aspects of my playing that have been influenced that way, but it's never been a conscious, you know, a conscious thing. But I am always trying to make it sound like him, you know, even when I'm doing the drum solo and I'm not playing his drum solo, I'm playing my drum solo, I'm still trying to stay in the things that I love about his playing, the authority, the play with push and pull of the time, the heaviness, the hardness, the rumble, you know, I'm trying to do all of those things. But I can't imagine, I can't imagine also having a thought like, uh-oh, I better, you know, I better look like him at the same time. I would be sunk. You know, I can't even
Right.
You know, to the horror of myself in photos.
Yeah, you're making the stink face.
I don't. Yeah, trust me. I was at the Dead & Company Rainiers game the other night. And I was like, this is my John Mayer face. I was like, what are you doing? Might be a dumb question, but as an all-female tribute band, like, do you guys do, have you done shows with like Hell's Bells and like other famous like all-female tribute bands?
Yeah, not very often, because, you know, tribute bands tend to be headlining, and it's very rare that we have money that the money will, you know, accommodate to headlining acts.
Right.
But we have. But
Hell's Bells, like, you got a new idea.
He made it happen. He brought the money.
Maybe October.
But yeah, we're great friends with Hell's Bells. We have played with Hell's Bells before, and you know, we have just the best respect for them. They do AC/DC better than anyone, I think. Yeah, in my opinion,
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
It just seems like an awesome show. Like, it's like co-headliners, right? Switch. I don't we know. Switch who headlines. Just like I'd buy this is, right now.
Yeah,
we. This did is it. Why I called. This is why I gave this show a title. Like tribute trilogy is because I think if this goes forward, which the Evergreen State Fair called me to say, hey, do you want to do a show at the fair? You know, we have four nights. We've only got three of them filled. Do you want one of the nights? Mm-hmm. And so I was racking my brain thinking, what kind of show, you know, could we do? It can't be like Meltdown because it's the fair. And I thought, well, maybe we'll do like a comedy night. And no, I, you know, that's also tough to fit in something as broad as a fair. So this concept came to me after seeing some really good, like hearing the Little Lies. And then I saw a group called Queen Mother, which I'm going to go see on Thursday this week, who just absolutely slay Queen. I mean, it is that, like you said, Clementine, it's not just nailing the parts. It's about the band having that magic.
Yeah.
That connection as a band and not impersonating, but just playing, you know, as a band. And so those guys were definitely on my radar. They're very young and kind of new on the scene, but that's what got my wheels turning about doing a tribute night of really epic tribute bands. So that's why I coined it the tribute trilogy, as opposed to just calling it Zepparella with, you know, some openers. Awesome.
Yeah,
because maybe in year two or three we do get Zepparella and Hell's Bells and Queen Mother or something, you know. Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah, to me.
I mean, look, I've seen the Chili Peppers probably four or five times. Mm-hmm. Like, right, it's always fun, it's good, but then like my buddy Zach is in a Chili Peppers tribute band. I'm like, I don't know, I've seen them in like the backyard of Mike's Chili Parlor. Like, I was like, this is awesome.
yeah
it's almost more fun.
Totally
down.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead, Matt.
Down here, I live in Palm Desert, Clementine. We have a lot of tribute bands. Have you guys ever played down here?
In
the Palm Springs area?
We have, so long ago that I don't even count it.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, but I think we're going to be playing at Pappy and Harrod's. It looks like there's a hold there.
Oh, awesome. I love that place.
Spot.
I'm hoping that works out.
Oh, yeah. I will be there for sure. Yeah. the thing I was going to say on the Chili Peppers is down here, there's I think they're from LA, called the Red Hot Cholo Peppers, who absolutely throw down. They're so good.
That's great.
Yeah, I never really, even though I was in a tribute band, I never really got the tribute band thing. This was when I was in an AC/DC band for a couple of years right before I started Zepparella, and I never really quite understood the draw. And then I saw a band called the Atomic Punks in LA
Steel Panther.
Yeah they became Steel Panther, and I was like, oh my gosh, I really love Van Halen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was because I'd never seen Van Halen live, right? And, you know the hits. I never dived in for some reason. I think it was just, I wasn't listening to that music when it was like kind of happening, right? So, I was like, now I love Van Halen because I saw that band. So it made me feel better kind of about being, you know, in this kind of band where it's like, you know, we have kids who are like, this is my first rock concert I've ever been to, and they're 25 years old. And I'm
yeah.
First of all, I'm kind of shocked by that. But second, I'm like, well, thank God it was Zeppelin. you know?
Like, yeah.
Zeppelin is, you know, I remember growing up like outside of DC, and like every year, like in College Park, we'd have this band called the Hubcaps, right? And I realized now they were a tribute band to like kind of 50s and 60s stuff. But like, I think until I was like 13, I was like, this is the biggest band I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Josh, one more time. What is it? The Tribute Trilogy?
Tribute Trilogy. It's Thursday. So it's coming up like next week. All Thursday, right. August 29th, features Zeppelin, Randy Hansen, and The Little Lies. So you're getting Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, and Fleetwood Mac live on the big stage at the Evergreen State Fair. And your tickets include fair access. So all the things going on with the fair that day are included. So it's a really good deal. The ticket prices are really reasonable. And their stage and their production there is awesome. It's on a big racetrack. They've got big screens. I mean, it's a full on concert, outdoor concert. And if my, you know, 10-day forecast stays, it's going to be nice and 70-ish, which is perfect. Not too hot, nerd. Not too cold, not too
wet. Yeah, I'm a weather nerd. It looks good. All right, Clementine, before I let you go, just one more random question. You're performing at a fair, is there a go-to item, right? Is it the strawberry lemonade? Is it the giant turkey leg, the scones? Is there something you'll walk over to the fairgrounds?
Funnel cake.
Yeah, I got to get this.
Well, I am a fan of any fried dough thing. So yeah, funnel cake.
Yeah, funnel cake would fit right in.
But last week, was it last week? We played at the Illinois State Fair, and the girls, you know, two of them are vegan, and they immediately found a vegan food truck. So they were all excited.
Yeah.
Why don't I go to work for the vegans? But up here, you got to go to Fisher's and get a scone.
Yeah.
Nice. Scones. Well, I just might make my own batch of popcorn for you guys, because I make vegan popcorn that just kills.
Yes.
It's vegan butter with a shite ton of nutritional yeast.
Ooh,
and salt and a little bit of garlic. And then you put it in a big paper bag and you shake it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Hey, listen, you don't have to tell us about popcorn. I mean, Cobb does own a popcorn shop.
I know. Well, I've always wanted to connect with Cobb and say, hey, maybe we should do a special, you know, recipe, because this one works, man. Everybody I give it to is like, yeah, I want more.
That's
a collab. I love it.
Let's do it, Cobb.
You know, funny enough, my cousins have a shop in Cape Cod, Smith Family Popcorn, and they make a vegan one called Tuscan Joy.
Mm. Oh, nice. I love it.
Clementine, thanks so much for coming on. Kick ass. Have a good show. Enjoy the fair. Josh, pleasure as always, buddy. Thanks for coming on, and thanks
really for hooking us up. Really appreciate you guys.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Great to see you.
Thank you guys. Have a good one, y'all.
Bye.
Good to see you guys.
Mm-mm. All right. Well, I guess we don't have to break. We can just keep talking.
We back. We're back to the boys. What's up, boys?
What's up, guys?
What's up, fellas? I feel like last podcast we had a heater talking about that boat. It's going to be tough to follow.
All right, so I have a boat update.
Thank God.
I saw Brian Thorpe, a.k.a. the boatman. He was down at the Rainiers game with me on Thursday. And by like the third, like, our boat, Brian, we're going to pay for the slip. And he's like, stop saying that. Like, there's a lot of other cost incurred with this boat besides that. I was like, yeah, but we got the slip covered.
Oh, that's awesome. Ted, I love that you're just like, I love that you're angling. And I remember you were saying after last time that you actually sent him the podcast so he could be red-pilled on our idea.
Oh, 100%. I just don't know that he swallowed.
Yeah, that's fair. Hey, look, man, you know, sorry, some motorcycles going by. Dude, I get it. You know, it's like, sure, month one, like he wants the boat all to himself, but like month seven, when those slip costs just keep coming in and it's rainy in February, like, you'll get that call.
Right. You're not going to want us on that boat. You're going to need us on that boat.
Exactly, dude. It's a war of attrition. You get me, Ted. Like, just, you know, stay in the pocket. We'll get on that boat.
Early innings, baby. Early innings.
Oh, man. That's so funny. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Also, that Rainier. So basically, right, we had a week off last week. So the Mariners were out of town. And my buddy Jeets, that works down in Portland now, but he worked KSW forever. He's a Tacoma guy. And he'd always be like, you got to go to Thirsty Thursdays. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, finally, this was in May or June, right? We know we're going to have that week off. I go, hey, Mike, the Rainiers are playing on Thursday. We're going to this game. And he's like, all right. So playing a whole group, right? Brian and Leslie, you know, Mike and his wife, me and Sean, another buddy, Sean, like, just we've been planning this out for months. And then, Cobb, when we get there, the guy taking my tickets is wearing like a Rainiers dead hat. And I go, holy cow, man, that's a really cool hat. And I'm wearing my wristband that Joe got us. I was like, I just saw the show. And he's like, they got a few left in the gift shop. And I'm like, huh. Randomly, we were there on Dead & Company or like the Grateful Dead night. So like the beer garden is packed. Everybody's in tie dye. Like I bought a hat. I was just like, this is amazing. I can't believe this worked out so well.
Oh my God, what are the odds? Like the Grateful Dead are gonna collaborate with the Tacoma Rainiers and it happens to be on the night that you go. Like the odds of that are honestly pretty much impossible. I feel like in the manifest, you know, energy world, you are on the Dead's wavelength right now, my guy.
Right? And I don't know if you can see, but that bear is wearing a Rainiers
hat. That is so sick. Cobb, can you see that hat?
I can't. I had to cut all video to maintain audio. Sorry, boys.
You can turn it on real quick and turn it back off.
What's that?
It's one of the bears, but he's wearing a Rainier's hat.
Matt, I'm going to be honest. I love you, but I'm hanging on by a thread here. I cut out about 15 times in that interview, so I cannot turn it on.
Oh, no worries. Well, okay. Well, that's a sick hat, Ted. I already knew all the listeners wouldn't be able to see it. I was hoping I could at least get one other person, but that's f***ing awesome as the one person that can see it.
And Cobb, you're right. I was like, how did this work out? Like, universe, man. Universe.
The universe, bro. Gemstones. Gemstones.
I was going to say, we've already been going for a minute. Yeah. Go to Friday Harbor. West. I got to look up the oyster farm I went to. That was awesome. Had a local with us, Jimmy. If you think you don't know Jimmy, you're obviously not from San Juan Island. Everybody knows Jimmy. I can't explain it. Yeah, right. Jimmy was. Westcott Bay Shellfish. Go to the farm, make a reservation. If you like oysters, trust me, man. It was awesome. Also,
that sounds
I should
so say, rad. I can't believe you haven't spent a lot of time out in the San Juans. Had I known that, I would have gotten you to Orcas this summer. Next summer, we're growing big.
Yeah, dude. And honestly, like my buddy lives up in Anacortes. So I just spent the night at the casino. We were hanging out. Shout out to the, the Brown Lantern Tavern. We had a lot of fun in there Sunday night. And then, yeah, we just got up on Monday and walked on the ferry. And then, Jimmy picked us up. We were cruising around and like island life is just different. Jimmy ran out of gas. He's like, whoa, we're out of gas. Like halfway across this island to get to the oyster farm. And then, like, I'm trying to play it cool, right? Like, Troy lives up there. Jimmy's a local. Like, don't freak out, Ted. Just play it cool. So then after, like, round one of oysters, I go, Jimmy, so your car's like a hybrid? He's like, no, man. It's just legit out of gas. I'm glad we made it here. I'm like, God damn it. Well, Jimmy, what are we going to do? But, like, some dude they know. So one of the girls working there called her boyfriend. He showed up with a gas tank. He was like, I got you, Jimmy. And I'm just like, island life. It's just different.
Jimmy, man. Everybody knows Jimmy.
I'm telling you, man, it was unreal.
Dude, that is nice when someone's such like a local baller that you just don't have to worry. It's like having a fixer. Like, just like everything will go well if you're with Jimmy. Like, don't worry about life's little problems, Ted. You have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We had to make a reservation. We were a little late. And then we showed up and like the first girl we talked to, she's like, Jimmy, great speech at the wedding this weekend. Yeah, don't sweat it. We got your table. I was like, we're in.
Oh. Jimmy. Jimmy, right. That's awesome, man. I love that.
All right, let's take a break here and we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and the Cop Topic? All right, welcome everybody back, and thanks to all our sponsors. Like we said, that show we were just talking about, that's up at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds on July 29th. But more importantly, this Saturday, I don't know what you're doing, but from 5 to 8, the men's room, excuse me, will be out at Mike's Chili Parlor from 5 to 8 Saturday, this Saturday. So we'll be there from 5 to 8. Seahawks last preseason game kicks off at 7. Like, yeah, swing on by.
Ted, did you write down July 29th before the show?
Yeah.
Because you said it earlier, too. It's August 29th. I'm assuming the people...
Oh, Jesus.
We got smart listeners. July 29th, 11 months away. So,
yep, you mean
next
right.
week.
God damn it. I didn't even pick up on that. I thought I was so proud of myself for mentioning it. And you're right. July 29th.
No, it was so smooth. I barely caught it the first time. And then I heard it again. I was like, oh, he has it written down that way. Because I saw you looking. Like... It's August. We'll probably say it at the end. Let's say August then.
Right. So this Saturday, August 24th, men's room event, Mike's Chili Parlor, Ballard, 5 to 8. Next Thursday, which I believe is August 29th, is the Tribute Trilogy. Matt, thank you for correcting me. You're right. It's like I wrote it down, so I just keep saying it.
Yeah. Just wanted to get it right, you know, for the people.
All right, Mr. Cobb, don't I ask... El emails?
Wow, Ted, you really should be president of a Spanish club somewhere if you're not. That was impressive. So, yeah. Oh, man, that's hilarious.
For those that don't know, I said, where are the emails?
¿Dónde están los emails? Or correos electronicos. All right. Yeah, and that show too. Just to add my own. Well, first of all, Ted, you missing the date is endearing. I think people know what's up. And second of all, it's Led Zeppelin tribute, Jimi Hendrix tribute, and Fleetwood Mac, which is rad. Now, emails. Yeah. First title, boys. We put on a clinic 2 weeks ago. That was one of our greatest casts in a while.
And I was pumped.
It shows in the email responses. Like when we get like one or zero. I do shed a single tear and I'm like, wow, you know, have we missed the mark? Have we lost the sauce? Like, are we over? Is the podcast done? And then we go out and completely redeem ourselves and have a week like this where we get 8 emails. So let's go, boys. Now, that being said, first email, subject line, the boys can't see me, so we got to do the little delay, but first subject line, the motherfucking boat. Fellas,
yes,
let's fucking go. That was probably the most anti-sad cast I've ever heard. So here's how it went in 2018. I meet a girl on Tinder. Turns out she was working at the VU's office and knew my ex. So I was like, Flynn, I was a safe bet. This girl was all about me. Bought us last minute Paradiso tickets. She'd drive over almost every day till one day she didn't. Turns out at the block party, she met the newly divorced dad down the street. He had moved in with his parents, but kept the boat. Boys, I didn't last till the next Friday. Barbon, the friendly IT guy.
Oh,
brutal L, baby. Brutal L. Jesus. Boat guy, him too.
Like, I hope we don't know the boat guy.
Oh, I was going to say, Ted, doesn't that just make you want to get on a boat more? You'll be Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Mr. Boatman, Mr. Steal Your Girl, man.
Exactly. God, I mean, it's like there's like that one clip on the internet where the fish are like literally jumping into the boat. I like to imagine that is Ted's dating life once he gets on this pontoon boat.
Right, like, ladies, I'm tired today. I'm just hanging out with the fellas.
Yeah. She's like, well, I'm kind of single.
Well, the boat's for singles.
All right, pontoon boats. Yes, I know how I spelled it. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Listening to you guys talk about pontoon boats was awesome. I need to get one now. This song about pontoon boats sums them up perfectly. Larbon, Tyler. And then he sent us a link, which is called Tune Tuning, the official music video, Daryl Licks, L-I-X, if anyone wants to check it out. I get the feeling it's going to be good. They're just I can only see the intro graphic, and it's just a woman in a bikini holding a guitar on a pontoon boat.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just tie up somewhere and have some fun. It's a lake yacht party.
All right, switching gears only slightly. How to pull hot bartenders. Gentlemen.
Oh, all right.
First, congratulations on the cast on acquiring the Party Barge, a.k.a. the Broat.
Not the Broat.
That's a good. With that in the arsenal, Ted probably won't even need to try to cozy up to hot blondes, but should he encounter another hot bartender and his baseball knowledge doesn't get the job done, allow me to share a technique I've used successfully twice. If you've established a good rapport with an attractive bartendress, but can't tell if she's really interested or just being professionally friendly, leave your number on the receipt plus a solid tip and say something along the lines of, hey, you seem cool, but I didn't want to make you feel weird by asking for your number, so I left you mine. Hope to hear from you, but no worries if not. Both times I got a text before I'd walked to the end of the block. LARP on, Carson the Lawyer.
You know what? I like that approach, right? It's like, yeah. I mean, it's also tough trying to hit on a bartender. If you stay too long to wait till she's off shift, you're just going to be drunk.
Oh, yeah. And like, and you lose the mystique, you know? Like, you can only be, you know, like funny and charming for so long, especially as the drinks are piling up.
Yeah. And I don't know how many times it's going to start with, my buddy just won a boat at the Mariners game.
Yeah, that is sort of the killer, like, open line. I mean, that's the, you know, I think of it, of course, in marketing. I'm like, that's the greatest subject line I've ever heard. I'm opening that email every time. <laughs> 100% click through rate, Ted.
God, you would be shocked. I mean, Matt knows, like, when you work in the radio industry, the amount of emails you get, and like, I'm with you. If there's a good subject line, even I'll fall for it. I'll be like, oh, all right. Yeah, I'll call your person.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's it for emails. I'm going to save a couple. Keep a couple in the chamber, boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Got to stay locked and loaded.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I guess we'll check in with Matt and see what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out with what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out with what's mattening.
All right. It's been a couple weeks. So 2 weeks ago, this week was pretty, didn't do a ton, but obviously played a little bit of golf, but 2 weeks ago or 2 weekends ago, had that trip to Big Sur that we were plotting about the s'mores bar with, and
yeah,
that was a great night. So we got out there Thursday. It was like these two brothers that I grew up with. One of them's a year older than me. One of them's a year younger than me. And we grew up on the same street and we're like brothers. And one of them has his own family with two kids and a wife. So I knew them, but then there's like three other families with parents and a couple kids that I didn't know. So to kind of, you know, introduce ourselves to the group, we took over dessert for the first night and just came in hot with 7 types of crackers, 6 types of chocolate and marshmallows so that people could create their own s'mores. And, you know, it was very much Jesse and Jamie inspired production of like, no, we're bringing our own table. Like we just had everything dialed in so that we needed no help to just get it up and running within like 5 minutes, you know?
I like day one too. Just come out swinging.
Yeah. Set the tone, you know?
Yeah.
So there was like regular Reese's, white chocolate Reese's, Hershey's, crunch bars, and some other stuff, and a bunch of Pepperidge Farm cookies. And I mean, it was, I had 7 s'mores that night, all of them different. I would say the Biscoffs, were the big winner, is like the bread. And then, the Nestle Crunches were a hit for the chocolate.
Yeah. I mean, Biscoff, you can't go wrong with.
Right. Nice and sturdy.
Yeah. Actually, I'd like to have a s'more on a Biscoff.
Yeah. And the Crunch Bar fit really nicely on it. One of the guys, one of the brothers, the younger brother, didn't like s'mores. And then he was like, I could get a Biscoff and use Crunch. And then he was in. He loved it. And so, yeah, we made some believers. Some of the kids got into it. A lot of the kids just wanted regular s'mores, you know, and it was a lot of fun. That was a great way to set the tone. Big Sur's, like, just an amazing area. It's in the
Redwoods. Haven't been up there or been over there. Like, I hear it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got a bunch of Redwoods. Our campground was in the Redwoods. Our campground is right on the river, and then the river flows out into the ocean. So we did a hike on Tyler's birthday up to like a really cool viewpoint, that was just like right out of the campground, just like a little 3-mile loop. Really cool. And then, you know, we went down to the river. That's all right at the campground too. So kind of laid low that first day, like didn't leave the campground because it's like, yeah, we can hike and go to the river here.
Right. I mean, why would you?
Yeah. So we got some good mileage there. And then, the next day we went to this beach, that's, you know, in a little cove and was really cool and got really lucky with the weather apparently. And so, yeah, that was a really cool day. A lot of fun just playing with the kids, you know, as the guy without kids and a lot of energy, I take it upon myself to try to tire them out.
Good work. That's solid move out of you.
Yeah. So the girl, I can call her G. We call her G a lot. And she's like 6. And she's like, can we play tag? And there's a big sand dune on the back of the beach. And I was like, absolutely. And I tagged her and I just ran straight up that hill. I was like, we're playing tag on the hill today, G.
Get those steps in, kid.
Yeah. Because last time she came, you know, it's fun watching the kids get smarter as they get older. And she came in and she's like, Matt, wear us out. Clearly the parents had said that's my gig. And so I was like, she's on to my game of like wear them out. So I'm like, yeah, we're gonna go play tag on the sand dune. And yeah, it was just a really fun day at that beach. And then went to the river for the next day, just kind of chilled. And then that was the night that the meteor shower was. The Perseid meteor shower, whatever it was called.
All right.
And so that was actually our last night. I'm probably missing some stuff there, but like we, a handful of us stayed up and, you know, it was a good view. Probably saw like 3 really good meteors and like some smaller ones. And then you'd miss some because the sky's big and other people saw it, but you didn't. And, yeah, that was, you know, it was a cool thing at the end, that, you know, we just had a good time, you know, kind of capping the whole thing off. And then the next morning we woke up, packed up to leave, took some pictures of this bridge with everyone. You know, I was stoked. One of the kids didn't want to get out of the cars for the picture. And then I came up to the car and he's like, I'll go with you, Matt. He doesn't have his shoes on. He's in my arms in the first picture. He's not my kid, but I'm just like, yeah, dude, Uncle Matt goes hard. Yeah, we dominated. It was a good time. And so on the way home, though, there's this thing called the 17-mile road, which goes through the Monterey Peninsula. So there's like five really, really famous, really, really nice golf courses down there. And it's just like one of the most epic drives in the state of California. Certainly like up in that side of California, like as big a deal as it gets. And that was so awesome to just like be driving by Pebble Beach and Cypress Point, and Monterey Peninsula Country Club and Spanish Bay. You know, it was really cool to just get to see them. And then, cause I've seen them all on TV, and just Northern California beaches.
I was going to say, like, I've been to Monterey. I went to a clam bake there for my buddy's wedding. That was the rehearsal dinner. And like, you could see the 18th of Pebble Beach and stuff. Like it is unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim Nance lives somewhere around there. I'm like, I could see that. Like, but I will say, you know, it's the second weekend in August. It was cold, super windy, cloudy marine layer. You know, I'm like, dude, I'd rather be golfing in the desert in 105 degrees than this. And, you know, I golf for free in the summers, but like, I don't know. It's just wild that a place with that volatile of weather, people are paying $500 a round at Pebble Beach, like over a year in advance, making their reservation and just hoping they get lucky with the weather. That's insane to me.
I mean, that's kind of what Pebble Beach is famous for, right? I mean, I don't care. It could be the dead of summer and you'll still see people like that looks kind of chilly and windy.
Yeah, it was. I was like, this is the dead of summer. I have multiple clients who have a home in that area that are there for the summer. And I'm like, the desert's nice right now. Like, so
hey, question for you, Matt, the 420 bank you always talk about going to.
Yeah.
Is that, their lounge is just for smoking, right? Like they don't serve booze in there, do they?
Correct. Just
okay.
THC. There's plenty of bars nearby, but one at a time.
No, yeah, I've been following this podcast and what's it, the Dope as Usual podcast.
Okay.
It's like weed related, and they had Josh Wolf, who's a pretty funny comedian. He was on there, and they were doing an event at the 420 bank, but it was like an all day thing, and this and that, and then it was like in lounge, and I was like, Matt, I mean, Matt doesn't drink, so he wouldn't bring it up, but I was like, I wonder if it is like a lounge.
Yeah. No. So the lounge is considered where you consume. Like it's a consumption lounge, quote unquote.
Wow. Very well done.
Yeah.
Look at you following the rules. It's a consumption lounge, Ted.
Yeah. And what was the other term you used before lounge? Dispensary?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the lounge is just that they sell it there, but they do have a stage. Like, if a podcast was going to record there, there's a stage for it.
Yeah, I think it was, like, the first live one they were doing, and, like they were going to podcast, and then there was, like 2-hour hangout session in the lounge. And then it's, like, the Josh Wolf is going to do a whole, like, set. I was, like, I don't know. I would have no idea about that thing if it wasn't for you. So I was, like, huh, no
shit.
That's
tight. I wish I knew that was going down.
Yeah, I'm trying to look right now. I can't find it. I
could have been out of town. I usually keep up with their events, and that sounds like something I would have checked. Was Josh Wolf the one that we met? No, that was Jeff Dye before Pearl Jam with Jay Farid.
Yeah, that was Jeff Dye. But okay. Yeah, Josh, we've had him on the men's room. I like that dude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sounds like a good 2 weeks. Good work on the s'mores. And yeah, I could use some Biscoff right now.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sorry. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys. Cobb topic, very apropos. We
the reason I'm down in Baja is just to get off the grid for a second with my wife and kind of restore, you know, like rejuvenate, refresh. And so I'm curious out there in listener land and from you two, what's the way you just kind of like restore, like reboot, reset the hard drive? It could be a little thing or a big thing. You're just like, you know, I put a friggin' breath strip in before I walk into the office, or like I have a cigarette after work, up to and including like I took a year off from my career to go to, you know, I don't know, Chile. So anyway, yeah, what's the way you restore and recover? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. Boys?
I mean, look, it's you're down there. It's fresh off my mind, but I don't know, getting out of the city and just kind of, you know, it's not like Anacortes or the San Juan Islands are that far away, but it was just fun being somewhere different, right? Like, obviously, people know the show and stuff up there, but it was, I don't know, it was just kind of awesome. And I love getting that question, like, what are you doing up here on this island? So like,
and north of the wall, out of the city.
Right. And Cobb, you've known me long enough, right? We've done little quick weekends in, like, you know, in Leavenworth or whatever. Like, sometimes I'm just one of those people, like, I got to get out of town just for a little bit, kind of, you know, kind of refocus and relook at what's going on.
Yeah. Distance does give a lot of perspective. I've noticed that, like, just when you step out of the, you know, so many of the things we do in our life are just a pattern, and it can be like, you know, when you sit down to your computer, checking the same email or whatever, and it's very easy to get caught up in trying to like do more of what you're doing instead of stepping fully back and being like, should I be doing this at all? You know, and that could be in anything, your work life, your social life, your, you know, relationships, emotions, whatever. And it definitely, I'm with you, Ted. I feel like that's the number one thing about getting away from your sort of like routine is just like getting perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I've kind of forgotten, but I went yesterday for the first time in a long time to just the driving range, just to hit balls.
Oh yeah.
Cause I play so much damn golf, and it's like, I'm not that committed to practicing golf. Like, I don't make claims about it. I'm happy to take slower improvements by playing and, you know, getting out there and enjoying the beauty. But in the summers, it's pretty hot. Standing in the range and just getting cooked isn't my idea of a good time. But in a cart, you get the wind and the shade. But my buddy Max has been working a bunch down here, two jobs. And he's always talking about wanting to get into golf now that he lives here. And so I took him to the range for the first time in 20 years for him or something. Like, he golfed a couple times as a kid. We had the whole range to ourselves. There's a little shade section, which you couldn't hit balls from, but so we'd take breaks and go sit in the shade and drink water and just like war story about our wild experiences in our 20s, and then just sit here as a couple guys in their mid to late 30s, like, on a driving range in the desert, just like vibing, dude, just chilling. And I mean,
hey Max, you want a banana?
Yeah. Dude, it was so fun. I mean, we were broing down too, and like, I met him at the radio station working overnights. Like, people that work overnights at a radio station, it's a unique breed. And if you think I'm a wild dude from having listened to this podcast over the years, I'm telling you, dude is twice as wild as me.
I'll vouch for that.
There you go. Ted vouches. Like,
I like Max, but he's a wild individual.
Yeah. So we're just chilling.
I mean, he's at 100 all the time.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was super fun. And just the juxtaposition of like some of our wilder times to that. And like, yeah, it was really funny. But there's something about, you know, going to the range where you're not thinking, it's a very different mental gear than trying to play 18 holes. And so I've kind of lost how like therapeutic the practice element of it is, much like swimming or a workout or whatever. But like, I do those things in my time, and then I want to golf. I don't want to go practice golf in 100 degree heat, but hanging with the bro in the shade, you know, watching him swing a club for the first time in a long time, being like, dude, this is fun. I was like, hell yeah, it is, dude. Let's go. Like, Max is a more entertaining guy than just about any friend I'm going to make through golf. It's like, take a fun dude and get him into golf. Don't go to the golf course. You're going to meet a lot of guys that are just golfers. Like, Max is a straight up lunatic.
And, yeah, and also, like, you know, like, when you play in a foursome, like, there's going to be people you don't know if you're just a single, but, like, you're not going to chat to the guy on the mat next to you. But, like, you have your buddy there, so you actually can BS a little bit. And, like, I get it was hot as hell, but that's kind of nice. Like, well, it's just us. We can take all the breaks we want.
Yeah, yeah, it was super fun just having the place to ourselves and having a little bit of shade to just go. Probably took three breaks and each hit 105 balls, I think it was, for the large bucket, so... You know, yeah, just had a great time. Very, very therapeutic, very good reset. And yeah, just find something you're passionate about practicing. There's something to practicing whatever it is that you think is worth practicing. I don't just the commitment to it, the mental aspect, there's something magical to that. So whatever it is, I know I always talk about fitness and obviously I love golf, but like, I really don't care what it is. There's something about that zone flow state that you kind of get into, and having fun with good company just makes it that much better.
Yeah, I mean, it's like tossing a football around, but yeah. You realize that it's like, oh, we've been tossing this football around for like half an hour.
Yeah. Where does the time go?
Right. Or maybe kicking a soccer ball, correct, hombre? Oh, maybe he's there. All right,
El Cabo.
I am near Cabo.
It is kind of funny. Like, you should go to Cabo. I feel like the jokes just write themselves.
Yeah, truly. I think we're like maybe 30 minutes from Cabo or so.
All right. Well, Cobb, how much longer are you down there?
That is a great question, Ted. It's a little open-ended. We moved out of our apartment and put our stuff in storage, so it could be as short as 1 week or as long as 5 weeks. It's kind of contingent on how the wife is feeling, so we shall see. But we're both in full recovery mode. Engines are shut down, recharging the batteries, so 1 to 5 weeks.
All right, do me a favor, don't get bitten by a shark down there on the peninsula. It's a hot spot. Also, Matt, you wouldn't know this. Friday night, I'm at a friend's house. They're having a cookout. Start BSing with this dude, a little bit older than us. And he's like, oh, yeah, I live in Austin. And I'm like, you live in Austin? And he, like, shows me a picture. And I'm like, oh, let me show you a picture. And I'm like, you had to be two doors down from my buddy's building. He's like, yeah, I know that building. I'm like, yeah, you're, like, two buildings over. So we're, like, looking at the river, looking at the park across the street. Then I'm like, first of all, he's only been down there a year. Like, you got to go to Austin Food and Wine. It's like, what? I was like, trust me. But then he went to the same goddamn high school Cobb did. So it's like, what? I was like, all right, you know me, right? By like late October, November, I'll have to get back down to Austin. So I'm like, all right, dude, I'll hit you up. We'll be out. Then I was like, or just look for the red moke. He's like, what's a moke? And I'm like, just Google it. You'll see my buddy and his wife. all right. Well, there's awesome. Another episode of the podcast for this week. We'll be back next week. And then, yeah, before you know it, boys, real football's back. Got it pumped.
I'm pumped for college football, man. Got SEC this year. It's going to be amazing.
That's right. Texas going to SEC. Say the Dogs are joining the Big Ten. Don't forget, if you are a college football nerd, there is one real game this weekend. Georgia Tech, Florida State from Dublin, Ireland. if you need a fix, I'm going to get up at 9 and watch it. You know me. Also, reminder, this Saturday, August 24th, Mike's Chili Parlor, 5 to 8. Everybody from the men's room will be there. Come hang out. And I don't know if you have a single friend, tell her I have a boat. All right, for MCTV, for Cobb. I'm Lee Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers. Sorry. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys. Cobb topic, very apropos. We
the reason I'm down in Baja is just to get off the grid for a second with my wife and kind of restore, you know, like rejuvenate, refresh. And so I'm curious out there in listener land and from you two, what's the way you just kind of like restore, like reboot, reset the hard drive? It could be a little thing or a big thing. You're just like, you know, I put a friggin' breath strip in before I walk into the office, or like I have a cigarette after work, up to and including like I took a year off from my career to go to, you know, I don't know, Chile. So anyway, yeah, what's the way you restore and recover? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. Boys?
I mean, look, it's, you're down there. It's fresh off my mind, but I don't know, getting out of the city and just kind of, you know, it's not like Anacortes or the San Juan Islands are that far away, but it was just fun being somewhere different, right? Like, obviously people know the show and stuff up there, but it was, I don't know, it was just kind of awesome. And I love getting that question, like, what are you doing up here on this island? So like,
and north of the wall. Out of the city.
Right. And Cobb, you've known me long enough, right? We've done little quick weekends in, like, you know, in Leavenworth or whatever. Like, sometimes I'm just one of those people, like, I got to get out of town just for a little bit, kind of, you know, kind of refocus and relook at what's going on.
Yeah. Distance does give a lot of perspective. I've noticed that. Like, just when you step out of the, you know, so many of our, the things we do in our life are just a pattern. And it can be like, you know, when you sit down to your computer checking the same email or whatever, and it's very easy to get caught up in trying to like do more of what you're doing instead of stepping fully back and being like, should I be doing this at all? You know, and that could be in anything, your work life, your social life, your, you know, relationships, emotions, whatever. And it definitely, I'm with you, Ted. I feel like that's the number one thing about getting away from your sort of like routine is just like getting perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've kind of forgotten, but I went yesterday for the first time in a long time to just the driving range, just to hit balls.
Oh, yeah.
Because I play so much damn golf, and it's like, I'm not that committed to practicing golf. Like, I don't make claims about it. I'm happy to take slower improvements by playing and, you know, getting out there and enjoying the beauty. But in the summers, it's pretty hot. Standing in the range and just getting cooked isn't my idea of a good time. But in a cart, you get the wind and the shade. But my buddy Max has been working a bunch down here, two jobs. And he's always talking about wanting to get into golf now that he lives here. And so I took him to the range for the first time in 20 years for him or something. Like, he golfed a couple times as a kid. We had the whole range to ourselves. There's a little shade section, which you couldn't hit balls from, but so we'd take breaks and go sit in the shade and drink water and just like war story about our wild experiences in our 20s. And then just sit here as a couple guys in their mid to late 30s, like on a driving range in the desert, just like vibing, dude, just chilling. And I mean,
hey Max, yes. You want a banana?
Yeah. Dude, it was so fun. I mean, we were broing down too, and like I met him at the radio station working overnights. Like, people that work overnights at a radio station, it's a unique breed. And if you think I'm a wild dude from having listened to this podcast over the years, I'm telling you, dude is twice as wild as me.
I'll vouch for that.
There you go. Ted vouches. Like,
I like Max, but he's a wild individual.
Yeah. So we're just
He's at 100 all the time.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was super fun. And just the juxtaposition of like some of our wilder times to that. And like, yeah, it was really funny. But there's something about, you know, going to the range where you're not thinking, it's a very different mental gear than trying to play 18 holes. And so I had kind of lost how like therapeutic the practice element of it is, much like swimming or a workout or whatever. But like, I do those things in my time. And then I want to golf. I don't want to go practice golf in 100 degree heat, but hanging with the bro in the shade, you know, watching him swing a club for the first time in a long time, being like, dude, this is fun. I was like, hell yeah, it is, dude. Let's go. Like, Max is a more entertaining guy than just about any friend I'm going to make through golf. It's like, take a fun dude and get him into golf. Don't go to the golf course. You're going to meet a lot of guys that are just golfers. Like, Max is a straight up lunatic.
And also, like, you know, like, when you play in a foursome, like, there's going to be people you don't know if you're just a single, but, like, you're not going to chat to the guy on the mat next to you. But, like, you have your buddy there, so you actually can BS a little bit. And, like, I get it was hot as hell, but that's kind of nice. Like, well, it's just us. We can take all the breaks we want.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super fun just having the place to ourselves and having a little bit of shade to just go. Probably took three breaks and each hit 105 balls, I think it was, for the large bucket. So, you know, yeah, just had a great time. Very, very therapeutic, very good reset. And yeah, just find something you're passionate about practicing. There's something to practicing whatever it is that you think is worth practicing. I don't just the commitment to it, the mental aspect, there's something magical to that. So whatever it is, I know I always talk about fitness and obviously I love golf, but like, I really don't care what it is. There's something about that zone flow state that you kind of get into, and having fun with good company just makes that much better.
Yeah. I mean, it's like tossing a football around, but you realize that it's like, no, we've been tossing this football around for like half an hour.
Yeah. Where does the time go?
Right. Or maybe kicking a soccer ball. Correct, hombre? Oh, maybe he's there. All right.
El Cabo?
I am near Cabo.
It is kind of funny. Like, you should go to Cabo. I feel like the jokes just write themselves.
Yeah, truly. I think we're like maybe 30 minutes from Cabo or so.
All right. Well, Cobb, how much longer are you down there?
That is a great question, Ted. It's a little open-ended. We moved out of our apartment and put our stuff in storage, so it could be as short as 1 week or as long as 5 weeks. It's kind of contingent on how the wife is feeling, so we shall see. But we're both in full recovery mode. Engines are shut down, recharging the batteries. So 1 to 5 weeks.
All right, do me a favor. Don't get bitten by a shark down there on the peninsula. It's a hot spot. Also, Matt, you wouldn't know this. Friday night, I'm at a friend's house. They're having a cookout. Start BSing with this dude, a little bit older than us. And he's like, oh, yeah, I live in Austin. And I'm like, you live in Austin? And he, like, shows me a picture. And I'm like, oh, let me show you a picture. And I'm like, you had to be two doors down from my buddy's building. He's like, yeah, I know that building. Like, yeah, you're like two buildings over. So we're like looking at the river, looking at the park across the street. Then I'm like, first of all, he's only been down there a year. Like, you got to go to Austin Food and Wine. It's like, what? I was like, trust me. But then he went to the same goddamn high school Cobb did. So it's like, what? I was like, all right, you know me, right? By like late October, November, I'll have to get back down to Austin. So I'm like, all right, dude, I'll hit you up. We'll be out. Then I was like, or just look for the red moke. He's like, what's a moke? And I'm like, just Google it. You'll see my buddy and his wife. Well, there's awesome. Another episode of the podcast for this week. We'll be back next week. And then, before you know it, boys, real football's back. Got him pumped.
I'm pumped for college football, man. Got SEC this year. It's going to be amazing.
That's right. Texas going to SEC. Say the dogs are joining the Big Ten. Don't forget, if you are a college football nerd, there is one real game this weekend. Georgia Tech, Florida State from Dublin, Ohio, or Dublin, Ireland. if you need a fix, I'm going to get up at 9 and watch it. You know me. Also, reminder, this Saturday, August 24th, Mike's Chili Parlor, 5 to 8. Everybody from the men's room will be there. Come hang out. And I don't know if you have a single friend. Tell her I have a boat. All right. For MCTV, for Cobb. I'm Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.